helping you capture your dreams. This is the Home Business Radio Network.
Well, welcome everybody to the Slight Edge Zone on HBRN Positive Powered Radio. This is Tony Cannulli, the host of the Slight Edge Zone, and happy Super Bowl to everybody. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, the 47th Super Bowl. I tell you, I am fired up because I've got a friend of mine, a really good friend I've known for a long time, on the show today. And, you know, I thought it'd be really cool. I was talking to him. He said, you know, why don't we talk about a championship mindset? And he's the former heavyweight boxing champion of the world. Okay, his name's James Smith. His fighting name was Bone Crusher. Anybody that's seen his fights, you'll know why. And anyway, Bone is an amazing athlete. And I tell you what, I asked him to do this show because this Super Bowl Sunday, I've got him on the show today. You know, just a little background for those of you that maybe aren't too familiar with him, although I think that's pretty rare. You know, he's the first champion in boxing to have a 4-year degree. He's traveled the world. He fought for, I think, over 17 years and started fighting actually at a pretty late age, in his late 20s. He spent 3 years in the Army serving the country, and that's where we started in boxing. After retiring from boxing, and we'll chat a little bit about his career and what he did and some of the highlights, but after retiring, he became a minister. He started working with children, founded an organization called Champion for Kids, and championforkids.org. You can go and check it out and check out his background. And he just wrote a book, just finished a book called Mad, Make a Difference. And, boy, he makes a difference. He's an amazing servant leader, somebody I am very proud of. And he spent quite a bit of time here in the profession, loves the profession, has a chapter in his book on the profession. So with that, I want to introduce my great friend, James Bone Crusher Smith. James, welcome to the Slight Edge Zone today.
Thank you very much, Tony. It's a great opportunity to be with you. And, hey, I had a full 1 hour to prepare for this call, so I'm ready.
Yeah, you had almost about as much time for this call as you did for your championship fight, didn't you?
Yes, sir. You know, but I know how to answer the bell, man. When I get the call, I say, yes, I'm ready. Ready, willing, and able.
Well, I really appreciate you sharing the time. We got the Super Bowl coming on here real soon, and you taking your time out today. But what a great day to be talking about a championship mindset. And, you know, Bowen, why don't we take a few minutes and just share with everybody your story, you know, where you came from, what you had to go through growing up, what you went through in the military to lead you to becoming a professional warrior that traveled the world, beating people up basically for all those years. And all of that. Let's share with everybody your story, because you've got just an amazing story. And, you know, one thing, too, I want to tell everybody, you speak well. A lot of the professional athletes have been through the wars that you've been through. I mean, they don't talk well. They got beat up pretty good, but not you, my friend. You're amazingly articulate and sharp, and even with all the wars you went through. But as big as you are, you didn't get hit that much.
Well, you know, once I realized, Tony, that I was going to get paid the same amount of money for one round as 12, I said, I want to get rid of this fight, get it over with quick before somebody get hurt. And I didn't want that somebody to be me. So a lot of my early on fights were very short fights. But, you know, I grew up in Magnolia, North Carolina. It's between Wilmington and Raleigh, North Carolina. And when I was about 6 years old, Tony, I was a big crybaby. And when people realized, the people that grew up with me realized that I was a fighter and the heavyweight champion of the world, they was in shock. How can this little scrawny little guy, a crybaby, didn't want to go to school, all of a sudden go from Magnolia to Madison Square Garden? So, you know, you're going to hear about that a little bit later. But anyway, when I was about 6 years old, Tony, I was convinced, I had convinced myself I was not going to school. And my mama and my daddy had other ideas. So what they did was they had my older brother and older sister drop me off in my first grade teacher's class. And my teacher said, my real middle name is Odell. She said, Odell, come here. And she had a fan belt in her hand, Tony. And I believe that fan belt was really the original weapon of mass destruction. They were looking for it, and I think I know where it's at. But anyway, she put it on my behind, and I ran around in a circle hollering and crying. And then, Tony, she sent a note home to my mama. And the rule was, if you got a whooping at school, you were going to get at least one more whooping once you got home and showed that note. So that's what happened. My mama whooped me. I got mad with my mama. I was already mad with my teacher. And then daddy came home, Tony. My daddy put his belt on my behind, and I got mad with daddy. So I made a decision right then, Tony. That's the name of my book, Mad, Make a Decision.
As a fighter, you were like 28. I know you were, you know, quite a bit later than a lot of people that started when they're in their teens. When I started, I was like 12 when I started fighting early, when I was real young. And anyway, how did that happen? And you were in the Army at the time, so you have a great story around that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I joined the Army after college. I went to James Sprunk Community College, and I'm getting ready to go back to James Sprunk Community College. I'm setting up a scholarship in my name for a kid that actually is accepted in business at James Sprunk Community College and want to transfer, get accepted to go on to Shaw University, where I ended up. We're going to get a scholarship in my name at James Sprunk Community College. But after the college, that's Shaw University, I joined the Army, and that's where boxing started, really for me as an amateur in the Army. And I walked in the gym one day to play basketball because I played basketball in high school, played basketball in community college and college. And then the boxing coach was in there and asked me to try out for the team. I did, and it just one thing led to the next. And now, you know, we had a great amateur career, and then, as you know, we had a great professional boxing career.
Well, boy, did you ever? When you started fighting? Because I know your story around, you know, getting that call and getting mad and around Don King and everything we've talked about and I've known for years. Because I mean, I was there in 2007 when you were inducted into the North Carolina Hall of Fame, and that story is a great story. Why don't you share that with everybody? I love that story because you were ready, man. You, like you said in the beginning of this show, you were ready.
Well, you know. It kind of started with that part of the deal. I mean, I didn't even know it was happening in 1985. Former heavyweight champion Mike Weaver, his people called me up one day and they said, "Bone Crusher, will you fight Mike Weaver? We got a CBS fight up in New York. Will you fight Mike Weaver?" I said, "Sure, I'll fight him." And it was on a short notice. I mean, guys try to catch me on a short notice all the time. And when I get up there, upstate New York, Tony, at the press conference, they said, "Well, Bone Crusher, since you're here, you just a tune-up for Mike. Said when he knock you out, he's going to fly out in Las Vegas. He's going to fight the winner of Larry Holmes and Michael Spinks." And so I jumped right on Mike Weaver. I knocked him out in the first round. They asked for a tune-up, and I tuned him up, Tony. First round knocked him. And I fly out to Las Vegas where the fight's taking place. And the first person I see at the hotel where the fight's happening is Al Sharpton. Yeah, and he runs up to me. He said, "Bone Crusher, so you don't know me." He said, "My name is Reverend Al Sharpton. And everybody talking about you knocking out Mike Weaver in the first round." He says, "I bet you since Don was going to give him a title fight and you knocked him out, I bet if we go up to see Don, we can get you right in there." So really, Al Sharpton was the guy that helped facilitate that title fight. You know, it started out me wanting to fight the winner of Larry Holmes and Mike Spinks, but it ended up being a settlement of me fighting Tim Witherspoon. So he takes me up to see Don, and you know, I had done a little business with Don King before in '84. I fought Larry Holmes the year before, so we talked about it, and I agreed to do an exclusive contract with Don to fight Larry Holmes. Don thought Holmes was going to beat Michael Spinks. So I just took the gamble that, but Larry had talked trash about Rocky Marciano and different things, and a lot of people were upset with Larry. So they gave Michael Spinks a decision, 15-round decision. And now Don don't have a champion. So I waited to get back to New York. I said, "Hey, Don, what we're going to do, man, I got an exclusive contract with you to fight Larry Holmes." And he said, "Bruce Lewis and Michael said, they're not going to fight you, Bo." So we just started suing each other. So I breached the contract. I gave me another promoter, breached the contract. And then in 1986, the next year, I mean, you know, Don called me up and said, "Well, Chris, I want to settle this lawsuit. I'm beating him in court, one lawyer." And I said, "Who is it with, Don, and when is it?" He said, "Well, it's against Jim Witherspoon, a guy that beat you last year." I said, "Where is the fight, Don?" He said, he acted like he didn't hear me. He said, "Well, Bo, it's going to be on HBO. You get ready to shine on HBO, Bo." I said, "Well, Don, when is the fight?" He said, "It's going to be at Madison Square Garden, Bone. It's going to be next week." Well, you know I got mad. You know I got mad. 7 days. Well, see, Tony, 7 days is not enough time if you're not ready. It's just like letting a person know an hour before they go do a radio show that goes all over the world an hour notice.
I don't know anybody that does that, champ.
That ain't enough time if you're not ready.
That's right.
But, Tony, I am ready, willing, and able at all times. Yeah,
you certainly are, my friend. That is absolutely the truth. What a story. So, you know, I've always wanted to ask you this, and I've always wondered, because, you know, you fought Tyson, you know, and we're moving, by the way, a lot of what we're talking about today really applies to the profession. We're gonna move and transition into the network marketing profession. You have a lot of experience. You've had a tremendous amount of success and all. But, you know, what was it like fighting Tyson? Was he as tough as everybody says?
Well, Tyson was much smaller than me. And, my every day, I had gone through a sequence of actually winning the title. And I really didn't think beyond winning the title. I mean, you know, so the Tyson fight, even though it was a big fight, I didn't look at it as a big fight. He was smaller, Witherspoon was bigger, Witherspoon punched harder. And I think I was a little bit, before getting in there, I was a little bit more prepared mentally to fight Witherspoon than I know I was.
You didn't expect him to be that tough.
No, not really. I mean, but he was harder to hit. He was younger and harder to hit. And I think the other thing, too, I really wasn't mad with him. And I think that's the key. See, once you get – have you ever been mad, Tony?
Well, you know me really well. What do you – you know I am.
Well, see, what happened, Tony? When you get mad, Tony, you feel like you've been violated. You know what I'm saying? That's what's going on now. People feel like they've been violated in some way or another. And all of a sudden, they don't even think about things in front of them. They just move it out of the way. You know what I'm saying? I thought I had reached to where I needed to reach to, but with the title, you know what I'm saying? I didn't think beyond that. And really, as I look back, and you know how looking back is, the Tyson fight was a much bigger fight. And really, I should have mentally prepared for that fight.
But it was still a good fight. And wasn't at that point you were the only person up at that point that went the full length of the fight with him?
Yeah, I was the first guy to take Tyson 12 rounds.
You took him 12 rounds. He was a lot younger. You were, gosh, how old were you? You must have been, what, mid-late 30s at that point?
I was 33, 34, 21.
And he was like 20, right?
Yeah, something like that.
You've been listening to part one of a one-of-a-kind interview here on the Slight Edge Zone with my good friend James Bonecrusher Smith, world former heavyweight boxing champion. Parts two and part three coming up. James takes off the gloves. We get into network marketing, the champion's mindset, something that only a world champion would totally understand, being a servant leader, serving the many. We get into some great stuff. This is just getting better and better. You guys are going to love parts two and parts three. Thanks, and we'll see you on the next show.
Inspiration, education, and transformation. The Home Business Radio Network.
You are listening to the Slight Edge Zone on the Home Business Radio Network, and today is part two of a multi-part interview with James Bonecrusher Smith, former heavyweight boxing champion of the world. And today we talk about a champion's mindset and how it relates to network marketing.
Well, all told, you fought for, what, 17 years or so?
18 years.
18 years, and when you retired, you decided to become a minister, and you decided that, you know, you'd beaten enough people up for way too long,
And then you got introduced to network marketing. Why don't you share with everybody how that happened and, you know, and all of that, and that story? Because, you know, you're one of the biggest proponents of the profession that I know. You're always talking about it highly. You love it. And you made millions and millions and millions traveling the world for all that time, and then you got involved in network marketing. There's going to be some people asking, well, why would you do that, Bowen? So why don't you share that with them?
Well, actually, you know, I was involved in network marketing even before I retired from boxing. And I think a lot of folks don't really understand what network marketing is. It's really sharing information and getting paid for it. And just hanging in there and not quitting in the beginning. And I think a lot of times folks get frustrated in the beginning and they don't work hard enough and don't work long enough to create a residual income. And that's what I like about relationship or network marketing.
Well, that's can you say that one more time? So your definition of network marketing, say that one more time, as I want everybody to hear that. How simple.
Well,
you put it.
You know. I think a lot of folks, you know, get intimidated by the word network marketing. But I guess in some circles, network marketing has a bad name. But in my opinion, what network marketing is just sharing information about a product or service and getting paid a residual income for it and just working long enough and hard enough for that to kick in.
That is awesome. So you got started and then you took it pretty serious. And I know you've had some very large organizations and made some significant money in the profession as well. You took a lot of what you learned as a professional fighter, a champion, a warrior, and applied it. And how does that apply? And today is the Super Bowl Sunday. You know, we were talking about this championship mindset, and you were sharing with me before the when I gave you that short notice, you were sharing with me your thoughts on that and that difference that you know, our show is a slight edge zone. It's that slight edge, that little difference. And you would talk about the two teams coming into it and that desire and willingness and burning desire and willingness to win. Talk a little bit about that from your perspective, being you understand that space very well.
Yeah, once you get to championship night, championship game, and both guys are prepared physically, you know, but one of the teams or one of the people going to be prepared a little bit more mentally. And I think that emotion, that passion and their why they want to do this thing and become number one, and their confidence, you know, is going to come into play. And there's going to be one team because of that is going to be the winner, and there's going to be one team to lose it. And when you really look at winning and losing, Tony, it's not that much difference. You know, it's just the moment and being able to capture that moment. And we'll see in a couple of hours who that's going to be so far as the Super Bowl is concerned. But see, our life, Tony, is a Super Bowl. We want to play our life the same way in relationship marketing or whatever we're doing, the same way. It's a Super Bowl. And when I really started focusing on becoming champion of the world, you know, I prayed and asked God. I said, God, please give me just a little more time to do what I need to get done. See, you know, time is our most precious asset because we don't know exactly how much we have. And when I started thinking about it, Tony, I said, you know, if God took me today, my work wouldn't be complete. I mean, I before I won the title, I said my life would be. And see, I think people need to ask themselves, if God take us away today, and we couldn't do anything else, will we be happy and satisfied with what we've done so far? And I think that will motivate a lot of people when if they be serious with themselves. Are you really happy and satisfied? If you can do anything else, will you be happy and satisfied but not doing anything else?
Wow, that is really profound. And it sounds to me, my friend, that even with as much as you have done, you are not satisfied with what you have done.
Well, you know, Tony, being on HBO and pay-per-view and all those things, I think it would be great if I could go back around the world, not worrying about hitting anybody, not worrying about getting hit, but just giving my fans, Tony, millions and millions and tens of millions of fans an opportunity to be on a championship team and be coached by a champion and learn about network marketing and learn about being in tune with a championship mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. The championship mindset is so critical because it begins. You know, it's all in the mind. Everything else happens from there with belief and commitment. Let's talk about what you feel are the qualities that every champion that you know, and you know a lot of them, you're not just, you know, you've got a lot of great relationships in and outside of the profession, and I know you hang around with, you play golf with a lot of athletes, not just boxers, but, you know, people in every realm of sports. And what have you found? Can you kind of distill it down, champ, into a handful of things that you find that every great champion has? And do you believe that everybody can develop those?
Yeah, it's a learn. You know, everything we know, Tony, we've learned it. We've either watched other people, we listen to other people, and we just did something. You know what I'm saying? So I think that that all champions they have to work hard. I mean, that's part of the deal. If you notice, all successful people at some point in their life, they had to work hard to get where they and then just being around the right type people. You know what I'm saying? And then you got to know who to listen to, Tony. Very important. You got to know who your coach is and know who your mentor is, and then because all champions. I mean, both teams today in the Super Bowl, they got two great coaches, and then they have assistant coaches. You know what I'm saying? Then some of the players are assistant coaches. You know what I'm saying? So coaching is very important. So, I look forward to going around the world, Tony, and I look forward to making speeches in large groups of people and have a downline. One of my goals is to have 1 million of my fans in my downline around the world. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, I tell you, that is a great goal, you know, my friend. We've been together on numerous occasions, you know, where we've set up and you had your belt, and it's just, guys, it's amazing to see how big this thing is. You know, of course, next to champ, it fits them. But anyway, we've been together, and people just come up and, they just recognize them, and it's phenomenal to have that, you know, champ, and I know everybody loves you, and, you know, it's so funny because I remember even when my youngest daughter was, you know, we're not as young now, and I remember when she would get near you, you know, she was never intimidated at all, even though you're pretty much, you know, a walking wall, and she was never intimidated. But you've got the heart and the spirit, you know, and God given, you know, you've got God given talents, and you're a great steward of your skill sets, and you care about people, and, you know, those are all qualities that I believe, you know, as a champion you have. So when it comes to the championship mindset, you know, well, hard work, as you said, work ethic is everything. And in attitude, I mean, like you said, you were ready. When that fight came up, when you said, you got a week, and you had a choice. You could have said, you could have wimped out and said, no, I ain't going to do it. And or you could have said, well, you know, I did, and you did do it, and you won. So what preparation, at that point, you were training pretty consistently. You kept yourself right on the edge, knowing that any time you could have that shot.
Yeah, you know, that's right. You know, a lot of my fights back then was a crossroad fight. I mean, guys, just like the Weaver fight was a crossroad fight, the Frank Bruno fight in London, England, that was a crossroad fight. I mean, Don King was going to give Bruno an opportunity to fight Larry Holmes then. And when I beat, it was a crossroad fight. Bruno was undefeated. I think it was 21-0 with 21 knockouts. And when I knocked him out in the last round, my next fight was with Larry Holmes. So, you know, there's a lot of fights in there when I was at the crossroads. And this is what this book is about as well. Every day we come up to the crossroads, and we have to make a decision. We come up to the crossroads, and sometimes we know which way we're going to turn. Sometimes we don't know which way we're going to turn. And we turn left sometimes, we turn right sometimes. But, you know, we have to make that decision, and there's a consequence, Tommy, with every decision we make. And I want to kind of spread that word when I go back around the world, but communicate with my fans and friends and family. Just communicate that. But at the end of the day, we got to understand that knowing that we're saved and there's going to be another place in eternity. So really, I can build my ministry and my mentoring program as with this book, through this book.
Wow. You know, I know we're going to talk about the ministry aspects of it and talk a little bit about that, because that's really amazing. You've become just an amazing servant leader, and you've learned to serve the many. And it sounds to me like wanting a million friends and fans and what you're talking about. You want to serve many, many more. You know, let's kind of recap what you've learned with the champion mindset. I mean, other than certainly work ethic, because nothing happens without, you know, rolling your sleeves up and going to work, and a great attitude, finding a mentor or a handful of mentors that you can listen to and trust, as you know, is also critical, as we talked about, and being ready and being prepared. And, you know, those are key qualities of a champion. Is there anything else? Do you think, how about drive and desire? Did you learn over the years to be able to cultivate that into a stronger? Sometimes people become apathetic, you know, they're kind of, you know, they've been beaten up a little bit, you know, and you understand being beaten up. I mean, you know, we're talking to the warrior, you know, that was, you know, beating up people and getting beat up for, you know, 18 years. So, you know, life can kind of beat you up, you know, champ. Let's talk a little bit about that parallel, because, you know, you understand that, but you came back. You know, you were resilient and you were consistent and you fought back. You know, I love what Rocky, you know, in his last movie, Rocky Balboa. I mean, you're a real fighter. But the reality is, he was talking to his son. I love that part when he's talking to his son. He said, look, you know, life is going to beat you down, and nothing's ever going to get harder than life, me, nobody, or anybody else for that matter, even Bone Crusher, right? But you got to get up, you know, and you got to keep fighting. You got to keep moving on inch by inch. And just in network marketing, that is everything. I just think that quality in somebody, that they learn to have that, you know, no matter what, get mad, do it no matter what. That attitude, that quality is so significant. Let's talk about that, because you really get that space.
Well, speaking of space, there's a space between your ears, and I think that space needs to be creative. And I think sometimes after you've taken enough whoopings, you kind of lose that thinking ability, and you lose the ability to think and be creative. And that's what I believe I've done, and kind of rebranded myself. Hey, with this book, Mad, Making Decisions, and looking at the current events, how people are mad, and kids are mad. They're shooting each other in these cities and towns, and they're shooting each other, and parents are mad. I mean, you know, adults are mad. Politicians are mad. Everybody's mad. So I said, hey, I'm going to tap into this deal. Current events, Mad, Make a Decision. And I believe that part of that championship mindset, though, Tony, is believing that what you're doing right now is what you're supposed to be doing. And whatever company you're with, believe that that's the right company you're supposed to be with, and the right products that you're supposed to be trying to sell and share with others. Just believing that the moment is yours, and God has blessed you, and he's given you the talent to get to the top. I think a champion believes that he's supposed to be the top. His little butt is on fire, and he can't wait until he's at the top.
I love it. Mad. Make a decision and make a difference. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's awesome.
You are listening to the Slight Edge Zone on HBRN Positive Powered Radio. This is Tony Cannulli, your host for the Slight Edge Zone, and today is part three of an amazing interview with James Bone Crusher Smith, world former heavyweight boxing champion. I hope you guys have all been enjoying it as much as I did in doing it.
You know, you after fighting for 18 years, you know, you moved in and started as a minister. Of course, you founded Champion for Kids, and for everybody listening, that's Champion for Kids with an S, Champion singular for Kids, plural, .org, championforkids.org, and you can follow what Bone's been doing and his career and his book and all of that. And it's going to be on Amazon here real soon, probably this week. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about why you started moving down that road, you know, and with children. I mean, I know you just touched on it, the school shootings, but you've been doing this. You've had Champion for Kids for years. You've been speaking all over the country and some parts of the world to, you know, children and teaching them Christian-based values and, you know, to learn from you and don't do drugs and all the things that you and I have said, you know, done a lot together in that realm over the years. But Let everybody know kind of how that came about. And, I think that's what led you to the book that you have right now, pretty much.
Oh, yeah. When I decided to do the Established Champion Kids in 2004, I have some issues in my marriage life, and it started out being a character education. My character was being tested, and I looked around. I said, "Hey, there's a lot of people's characters being tested as well as mine," and so I wanted to make a difference. So I founded Champion for Kids Inc. Really, it was kind of to help me along and help my family along. And, I was able to travel and I set up some pretty good contracts with the school system, and they would pay me some money and do different things like that. So kind of one thing led to another. And the thing about it is, in which I believe that it's going to happen the same way to a book, once you get started, and that's what network marketing is about, getting started. And really believing in what you're doing, and believing what you're doing is what you're supposed to be doing at this particular time, and confidence and belief level, people work towards according to their belief level. So, I'm a believer, and I'm looking for other believers, and I think there's a lot of believers out there. Because of the economy, though, Tony, I think a lot of people are a little weary. And I'm just part of my book and my tour is going to be to encourage people both financially and spiritually, reminding them that God has our back, and all we have to do is go to him and ask him for help, and he'll help us. He'll be right there for us.
Well, that's a great message. You've got, speaking of you're going to be touring here, and I know in April you're going to be coming down here to Orlando, and we get the opportunity to throw together an event and speak together and promote the book. And certainly am very blessed and graced that you asked me to help you promote the book and be your promoter in that sense. And, man, I tell you, what an honor and privilege to have that, and I'm excited about that. I know in the book, let's talk a little bit about what's in the book. And I know you wrote a chapter just dedicated to network marketing. Of course, everything you teach in the book really applies 100% to what we do anyway. You're a big proponent of network marketing. I'm excited to help you get that book into companies and in the distributors' hands so that they have a valuable reference and some other great information. Your style of teaching and education is phenomenal, Champ. I've always told you that. And so let's talk about what's in the book, and maybe you can share some of that and a little bit about what you put in there about network marketing.
Well, each of the seven chapters, because I wanted to pick seven chapters because there were 7 days that notification of me fighting for the title, and then we want to talk about that seven, is God's number of completion. And so we want to bring that in there. We talk about the family. There's a chapter in there about the family. There's a chapter in there about Magnolia and Madison Square Garden. There's a chapter in there about the championship mindset. And, but every chapter in there, Tony, it talks about leverage, and it talks about residual income. It talks about, getting started with a little amount of money, just working hard, and just work in the beginning. You get paid. You work more in the beginning than you get paid, but in the end, what's your catch on? You get paid residual income a lot more than you work in the end. So a lot of people just don't work long enough or hard enough in the beginning to make that thing work for them. And you got to work for the money, then the money work for you.
Yeah, it's almost in a simple sense, like a horse, the fulcrum position, mathematically, it takes a while for that fulcrum to switch. Like you said, you're working so much harder in the very beginning, but over time through leverage and momentum, it's the opposite way around. Your business is growing faster than no matter what you do, it's growing. And, what little you do has no impact on the bigger scheme as your organization continues to grow eventually, around the world in most cases, certainly. And so, you're absolutely right. But most people quit, though, before they see that shift. I call it a time money relationship, or, lever, almost like a lever where, you got to push, and then eventually it shifts and your organization takes off a life of its own, because it's not dependent upon you. It's dependent upon we, the team. And so, speaking of team, because today's Super Bowl, of course, you know, when we were talking about that. Let's talk, what have you learned about teamwork and how important that is in building a business in the profession?
Well, you know, a team is very important. Both of the teams in the Super Bowl today, I mean, they're top teams. They work, but both teams have coaches, and they got assistant coaches. And then some of the players, the captains of the teams. I mean, you know, you got very important. I mean, you know, teamwork makes the dream work, but it's all about team, you know, and, you know, looking out for the team. And this is one of the, this is one of the reasons I wanted to write the book right there at the end. I made a decision to write a book that could inspire my team. You know, I have a group that a company I'm working with specifically. We don't want to mention their name, but my team, they need some inspiration and motivation. And as we grow around, as we get fans, my fans around the world, add them to the team, we're going to coach them and let them know that the coach is what they need right now for inspiration and motivation in the name of Jesus.
Amen, brother. That's great. That is great. Well, I can't wait for everybody to get feedback. Now, you said it's going to be, I believe it's this week, it'll be launching on Amazon. So all they got to do is look for James Bone Crusher Smith. And, of course, if you go to, once again, championforkids.org, you can see the champ has been working on there and his travel. And, you know, he'll be traveling. He may be in a city near you. He'll probably will. He loves to travel. I know you travel and have traveled extensively for forever and ever and ever, and you're going to continue on to do so. So maybe at some point, you know, we'll keep everybody abreast of where you're going to be so they can come out and meet you. Certainly can't miss you.
They can get my schedule on Facebook as well as www.championforkids.org. Go try to keep my travel plans and travel schedule on both of those sites.
Wow, you know, let's as we're winding down here towards the end of the interview, you know, I know we got the Super Bowl going here, and I know you're going to want to watch that, and just like I do, but you know, this is so important because we're serving the many here and doing the greater good, and I love doing that. You know, let's just, you know, because there'll be some children, there'll be some kids that are going to be listening to this as well, Champ. When we've spoken, you've come in and spoken for groups and Boys and Girls Clubs of America and all. What maybe you can talk to them for a minute here as far as, you know, their future is a little different than what we had. I mean, the job system, you know, is broken. That's why network marketing is the only game in town. It used to be the thing that you used to say, well, you know, I'm in one of those, you know, that kind of an attitude. And today it's, you know, you should be yelling from the top of the buildings, but you got to learn to do it right. The network marketing for the average person really truly is, I totally believe this, and this is not a sales pitch, it is the last bastion of free enterprise for the average person. You know, that they can start from anything, and with coach mentorship, desire, you know, work ethic, all the things we talked about, you know, in this interview, that they can be and do and have whatever it is they want. We know that. And but if you're talking to some of the younger generation, we've seen a large group. I just had BK Barreco on, and BK has a huge group of young, you know, high school going into college age, and many. He had said on the interview, Champ, that 52% of kids going out of from, you know, graduating from college, they have no job lined up. I mean, it's like nothing there for them. So this is going to be something that's so important. Let's talk a little bit about them, about integrity and character and Christian values and just some things that, you know, because people think, you look at you and they go, oh, he's really cool because he can beat people up. But, you know, that's only part of the equation. You were definitely a warrior, but let's talk about just a little bit of that because, I know a lot of kids are going to end up listening to this interview.
Well, you know, last week I woke up and really I was crying. I mean, I started thinking about some things that actually happened in my life, and it was kind of sad back there and back 7 years ago. You know, I was having some marital problems. You know, I lost my wife in a divorce, and then my dad, in a matter of weeks, my dad died, and then a matter of weeks, I found out I was a diabetic. And it was just one thing after another, and I started praying to God. I said, God, how many more things you going to put on me? How much you think I can take? And then God laid in my spirit, and he reminded me of a scripture in the Bible where it talks about Mary. And he was having this conversation with Mary, and Mary says, he came up and said, God had told her that she was with child, and their child would be called Jesus. And Mary said, looked confused, and in her confusion she said, how can that be, God? And how can I be a child and I haven't even been with a man? And God said, Mary, you can and you are because you're blessed and highly favored. So I want to, at this time, encourage people, not only at this time, but all the time throughout my tour and throughout the book I'm talking about, to remind people that God has blessed you in a very special way. And you have a gift and a talent. And there's a champion in you that's blessed and highly favored. And, I started repeating that over and over again. God blessed me in a special way. And he made me champion of the world. And you might not have been in the ring like I have, but there's a champion in you. And that champion is blessed and highly favored, Tom.
Very, very, very well said, my old friend. Boy, I tell you, I am fired up. And you know, when you come into Orlando, we're definitely gonna bless some people. I can't wait to do that. And for any of you listening in, that you know, we'll let you know what the Champ's travel schedule is going to be once again. You can come out and shake hands with them. And anyway, that'll be a lot of fun. It's funny, Champ. I've got another interview because I only gave you an hour's notice, and it was so ironic. You know, things happen for a reason. When the spirit moves you, you just act. And, you know, I've been meaning for weeks to set up the interview with you, and I just hadn't. And then it hit me today. And then when I called you, the first thing you said to me before I even asked you was, you said what? You finished your book last night. I mean, that's not a coincidence, you know. And I really wanted—I wasn't sure who I wanted to have. I had Danny White on as well, you know, from the Dallas Cowboys, and you know, I have my friend Greg Kite, who from the Boston Celtics. And anyway, you know, I asked Greg, and then all of a sudden I booked you, and then Greg is like, I want to do it too. And so during the halftime of the Super Bowl, I've got to interview Greg as well for the HPRN audience. So I think we're going to be covering the championship mindset very, very well. And I think that this incredible show today with you, my friend, has left our HPRN family and listeners very blessed and very highly favorable. Would you agree?
All right. Thank you very much, Tony.
Thank you. Thanks again. This is Tony Canulli with the Slight Edge Zone on HPRN Positive Powered.